Well, good morning. Oh, come on. It's like my favorite part. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Yeah. Well, last week, if you were here, Brent started a new sermon series called The Gospel is Good News. Does it work? It's coming. All right. The Gospel is Good News. And so we've been contrasting two ideas through this series, that of gospel saturation and gospel corruption. So gospel saturation, we have the gospel was designed, the gospel was designed to be saturated into every part of our lives. This is from the way we parent, to preaching, to your job, and even the conversations you have with the cashier at the grocery store. All right, every part of your life should give evidence to the work of the gospel that has been done in your life. If you turn to Ephesians 2, 20 to 22, we're going to be looking here and also in Ephesians 3 this morning. Ephesians 2, 20 22 says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as a chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. All right? God is building us. We are becoming a dwelling in which God lives through us. And so we need to be saturated in the gospel so that he can live out through us. We also have gospel corruption. All right, like looking into a funhouse mirror. All right, if we look to society to shape who we are, society will also begin to shape our understanding of the gospel. This becomes distorted and corrupted. So we need to protect from these distortions and present a clear gospel message. So the corruption. Today we are looking at the distortion of individualism. All right, this last weekend I was out hiking in the wilderness of Alberta. But I don't know if you've ever watched any of those survival wilderness shows on TV, where it's one man alone surviving in the wilderness. You know, it's just me alone and my cameraman. You know, I wonder if that's in a lot of ways how we end up viewing the gospel. You know, it's me alone surviving life, but making no recognition to the people around us in our church that we are working with. And so this distortion is extremely prevalent in our culture as we stress independence and self-reliance. And so there are two concepts that are dealt with individualism. And so today we're going to look at how individualism has shaped our view of our identity, or our view of the individual, as well as the view of community. And so point number one. So I've taken a couple of these points from a church back in Lethbridge. We were also kind of talking a little bit about this, and I like the way Pastor Kimball had worded this. He said, we have made personal relationship with Jesus too individual. He had said too personal, but really the same thing. See, the distortion is to make an extremely individual and selective pursuit of the experience of spirituality. Because God relates to us personally, but he does not relate to us individually. Right, he relates to us personally, but not individually. So this is not a me and Jesus song. Does anybody know that song, Me and Jesus? Anybody? It's an old country song. It goes, Me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and Jesus got it all figured out. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. We don't need anybody to tell us what it's all about. You know, when I first heard that song, or I first saw that song show up on a Brad Paisley album playlist, I was so excited. I'm like, oh, sweet, another Christian song. And then I listened to it, I'm like, that is so wrong. It made me upset. Because we need each other. This isn't a me and Jesus song. Ephesians 3:18 says, may you have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. It's this together that we are looking at today. Because individualism, so we have this me and Jesus attitude where, you know, just like surviving out in the wilderness alone with your cameramen, you know, I can do this. It's Jesus and I, we got this figured out. You know, it's great. I've got my church. I go there on Sunday. But, you know, the struggles we're having in our marriage, this is just between us and Jesus. You know, the healing that I'm taking, that I'm needing to grieve the loss of my mother, you know, that's just between me and Jesus. I don't need other people's help. I've got this figured out. And this is our culture. This is what our society has told us to do. And in individualism, there's also no accountability. There's a second definition of individualism that I looked up, and it said the freedom of individuals over state or collective control. And so we end up, especially as Christians, we can often go, well, you know, I've got my views of Scripture. We kind of pick and choose what we want out of Scripture, of how we want to view God, rather than coming together and being accountable to what the church is saying about who God is, what proper doctrine is, proper theology. And so we also end up we get hints of relativism and humanism in our individualism. So this relativism, you know, the doctrine that knowledge, truth, and morality exist in relation to culture, society, or historical content, and are not absolute. I think we often see people say, you know, give these my God statements, like, well, my God's not like that. You know, my God wouldn't let starving children, you know, wouldn't let children starve in Africa or here, you know, in Vancouver. I had this, when I was working at Blue Bronco Wilderness Camp out in Alberta, I was on a pack trip with some horses, and the speaker, this wise man named Myron Wilson, was speaking on how we view God. And so, if we've come to the conclusion that you know, the God that we worship is our God, then we simply have to worship the God who is. So if God exists, then the God that exists can't be the God you want him to be. It's stuck with me for so long. All right, if God exists, then the God that exists cannot be the God that you want him to be. God is who he is. And so we can't pick and choose who we think that God is supposed to be. We're talking, you know, we don't have the full picture of God. You know, some of us will understand God in different ways, but we can't be so grounded on the fact that God fits into a certain box that we've created, All right, and we need to be open to discussion with each other as a church, as members, and we need to grow in the way that we understand who God is. When I had mentioned that we don't have the full picture of God, Candace said, well, if we did, we'd die. Like, it's as simple as that. We don't have that picture, but we need to be humble enough to work together to understand who God is and build our theology with that. So there is absolute truth. Okay, when we resort to relative statements, you know, we're just taking the easy way out in trying to understand what truth is. Point two. So we have made community way too much about affinity. This is actually almost like this weird byproduct of what individualism is. See, we spend our time with like-minded people. We only spend our time with people that share common interests with us. People that we don't disagree with, because, you know, we can't have disagreements with each other. In Ephesians 3:6, it says, the mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus. You know, if we were just to spend our time with like-minded people, if this was what the gospel was supposed to be, then the Gentiles wouldn't have ever been a part of God's plan. It would have just been Israel. And we wouldn't have been a part of this. Amen? And so we are supposed to spend time with people that aren't, you know, that don't think the same as us, that maybe disagree with us, because we sharpen each other in that. When I was, this last weekend, I was out on this 4th Musketeer trip. Thank you for praying me through that. I got to speak on it. And it was, I know they all kind of almost just look like rocks, but those are people up on top. But I joined 60 other crew, as well as 120 participants we had come out and hike these mountains with us. And now it may look like we just spend our time with, you know, we've all got this common shared interest of hiking, but you're wrong. There are many people that were hiking with us that do not hike or that do not enjoy hiking. All right? The beauty of this weekend, we spend 72 hours out in the bush. We hike, and our goal is to bring men to the foot of the cross. And honestly, the more you hate hiking, probably the more you get out of the whole weekend. Because it is challenging. But the beauty of the whole thing is that each man comes with their own struggle. Brent always likes to explain it when asked by other people that it's just promise keepers in the wilderness. But it's not. It's not promise keepers at all. Each man is coming with their own struggle, with their own pain. It's not a common thing that we're all just going to work on some certain sin together. You know, some men, at the end, you know, we shared testimonies and it was beautiful. There was just men crying and worshiping God. Some men out of the weekend, you know, it was simple, just learning to give up control. Some, it was realizing that they need to start giving 100% at home, whether that's with their wife or with their kids. Some men started their battles with addiction. One man shared just his ability to start grieving because from a miscarriage that him and his wife had a time ago. And I was amazed at how many stories came out of this weekend of men being able to forgive their fathers for the hurt that has been done in their lives. And then taking it a step further and being a better father to their children. And so in this whole grand scheme of individualism, we're faced with this unity versus uniformity. Right, as much as we were all there together and it seemed almost very uniform, in a way it wasn't. We're men from different churches, different beliefs, not necessarily different beliefs, but different, you know, we're all Christian. You know, but we're all unified in the fact that Christ died for us. And he has forgiven us of our sins, and he is building us up as men. And so with this unity versus uniformity, as much as individualism promotes diversity and self-reliance in our culture, it also destroys that which it seeks to create. You know, we live in a culture that is so set on diversity. But at the same time, what it is truly pushing on us is hyper-autonomy. All right, we have to agree with everyone. If we disagree, you know, we're cast out as bigots. You're branded instantly the moment you disagree. And so we actually end up sacrificing diversity for the sake of the individual, because it's not diversity. This is diversity. You look around you, especially when there's more of us in church here, we're a pretty different group of people. And it's a good thing. Because unity comes from diversity. You know, unity is not uniformity. Being the same, thinking the same, does not promote unity in the body. It promotes uniformity. And that does not give us growth. So what do we do with this? The gospel is good news. Right? It's for everyone. It's not just you. Right, it needs to be shared with everyone, and not just those that are like you. It's a gift that has been given to us that we now get to pass that along to others. Again, Ephesians 2:20-22, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as a chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. If we want to be saturated in the good news, all right, we need to be saturated in him. That it is in Christ that brings us to unity as this weird, diverse group of believers. All right, that it's okay to lean on each other. We need to be able to share that with others. In the same way, we need to treat our brothers and sisters from other congregations and denominations as our fellow brothers and sisters. All right, we are a family. We are not a group of individuals. All right, we're a church family, not a group of individuals. And we are not just a church family. What I started getting in my head was, you know, this picture of Christ coming for his bride, which is the church. But Christ isn't coming to meet his bride, Cornerstone Neighborhood Church. All right? And Christ isn't coming down to meet his bride, the Fellowship of Evangelical Churches of Canada. All right? He's coming to meet the church, this body of believers around the whole world. All right, and so, we need to be working with the churches around us, which is what I'm really loving right now about working with this Pray Ridge Meadows initiative, and even getting involved with the ministerial in town, and just seeing how, as churches, we are working together here in Maple Ridge. And so I encourage you guys, to get involved with that Pray Ridge Meadows initiative. It's amazing the way we can work together as a church, as a body of believers here in Maple Ridge. But even closer here, we must lean on others. We must lean on the other members in our body for support. Right? It's not this me and Jesus mentality. We need to humble ourselves enough to be vulnerable. We need to start putting our problems out to each other. We need to support each other. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus. Determining God's will in your life, this is a little side note, I guess. But also in this idea of individualism, we've talked about accountability, leaning on others now. It's really easy to determine, try to determine God's will in your life or what God's got planned for you on your own and go off and start making mistakes in a lot of senses. But we need to, when we've got things, we've got, whether we're moving, we feel like God is calling us to a different place. It is important that we put that to our church, that we ask each other to pray on it, to speak on it, and we listen intently to those around us to hear God's voice as well. That's what I loved before coming out here. I asked my church back in Lethbridge to pray over my decisions of what school to go to, where I should be going, and they all had this unanimous consensus that this was the better plan. And I'm so grateful for the journey that God has brought me on, bringing me out here to Maple Ridge, meeting Candace, and meeting Sean. Yeah. big highlight in my life. But now this next step that I'm about to take, hopefully into the Immerse program, and I would like to ask you guys for prayer this week, Tuesday and Wednesday. I'll be going out to Langley and doing my intake for the program. Basically, out of these next 2 days, there of intense interviews and questions, and I have to give a sermon and a testimony. There's this communal discernment of whether I should be pursuing this career path as a pastor or not. And so I would very much appreciate your prayer as my church body for that weekend, and that this, not that I would get into the program per se, but that God's will would be shown to the people that are in charge, and whether I should be in this program or not. Ephesians 4:16. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. See, humility, we need humility. In humility to accept that we don't know everything, but we can come to a greater understanding of working through the Bible together. In developing our theology, in challenging and spurring one another on in our beliefs. But that requires us to not come into it thinking we have it all together, that we know everything. Even Guy was just talking to me just before the service about being able to humbly accept just a correction in the way he viewed Scripture. And it is a beautiful thing when we can grow and we can develop our understanding and our beliefs together. So I'm going to leave us with this last scripture again. Ephesians 3:18. May you have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just this wonderful day. We can come, we can gather together as your church, as members of one body, God, but not as a group of individuals. God, we are here to be saturated with your gospel, to challenge each other, to spur one another on, God, and to share this wonderful message that you have given us, this wonderful gift. God, so as we go out into our lives, God, we ask that you would help us to show the world a clear gospel. God, that we wouldn't be distorted and corrupted by our society's extreme view of individualism. God, that we would be diligent in leaning on each other, that we'd be diligent in loving each other as a church. And God, that these actions that we would show towards each other and towards others, God, would show towards society, that they would see a clear gospel. In your name, amen.